Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, State of the State of the New York Knicks podcast, episode 139. Finally, I got my guy, Aiden, Knicks community on the pod, as per usual. You know, it's about the millionth time already. But how you doing, bro?
I'm doing good. How are you, man?
You know me, man. I'm gonna give you a Tibbs quote. I'm not happy until I'm miserable.
Yep. I think that's how we all feel now.
Yeah, man. And you know, I just how can I put this? I love Thibodeau, but he does a lot of things I don't like, but we're going to get into that. But, you know, it's whatever, bro. How you been, bro?
I've been good, a little sad about these past few how we've been playing down the stretch, but other than that, I'm doing good, man. I just wish these Knicks could just play more smarter, I guess, in the clutch down the stretch in the fourth.
So the last time me and you spoke was when I believe Julius Randle had just became an all-star.
Yep.
And a lot has happened since Julius Randle has become an all-star.
Yes,
right?
Yes, it has.
And I just want to know from your perspective, bro. I really want to know. What is your biggest, mind you, we could talk about all the good things Thibodeau's doing. We could talk about all the positives, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks have lost 5 of their last 6 games. Five of their last seven losses are single possession games. They are now 8th in the Eastern Conference now. I just want to know, what is your biggest gripe with Tibbs so far? Or upon this season, like, what is your biggest issue with him?
My biggest issue. I feel like he should give some more minutes to guys like Obi. You know, I feel like, obviously, I know. I feel like he should just kind of spread the minutes around like equally, because I feel like, you know, you have like, I'll use this example, like, you have Emmanuel Quickly, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I feel like his minutes kind of, like, vary from time to time. Like, he'll play, like, 20-something minutes, and then, like, the next game he'll play, like, 15.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, like, Obi Toppin that's there for, like, 10 minutes and then sits on the bench for the rest of the game.
Cup of coffee, bro.
Yep.
I always tell you, he get his good cup of coffee for Randall, and he get right back out the game. But continue.
Yeah, I mean, and, like, I feel like it's, like, I've been hearing all of this, like, Obi slander, like, oh, he's not cut out for the NBA, or, like, he needs to go to the G League or overseas, and I'm like, it's his first year? Like, it's way too early, like, you know, I mean.
Can I be objective real quick? And I want you to reply to this. Can I be objective?
Yeah.
I gotta cut you off and ask you this.
Sure.
I understand what you're saying, bro. What you're saying is correct, yes. But, to be objective, he's 3 years old, bro. Then on top of the fact that he just started looking functional like an NBA player within this past week and a half. Before that, the man went 5 games, 0 points, bro. So how much optimism you want Nick Nation to have when it comes to this kid, knowing, you know, some of these things, like knowing he's 23, knowing the floor for him to get better is probably Montrezl Harrell, but we going to see. Because I need to see more, bro. I don't know, bro. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think, you know, I feel like when it comes to the NBA and rookies, like, yeah, he's 23, but at the same time, I feel like everybody kind of has their own sort of, like, I mean,
story,
I guess, story or like evolution kind of with like getting used to the flow of the league. Listen, I mean, I think if he continues to play like this, let's say next year, then yes, obviously I'm going to be like, come on, like, you know, like you've been at this long enough now. But like, I mean, listen, it's a shortened season, right? I mean, normally we'd play 82 games and I think this year's only like 75 or 72.
72, no summer league.
Yeah, so
no training camp, no none of that.
Yeah, so, you know, I feel like if we're really looking at this from the 72 games that are going on this year, like, it's barely any time that, you know, let's say like RJ Barrett had to get used to the NBA. He had summer league, preseason, an entire NBA season. Like, you know, I mean, same thing with Knox, Frank, and, you know, our other rookies that or I guess our other previous rookies. So, you know, I feel like it's just, I would still, you know, just be aware that Obi is still going to, you know, take time to develop. I mean, I feel like with Obi, at least from what I've been seeing, I feel like he needs to just play like how he did in college. Because I feel like he just forces up threes, like, all the time. I mean, like, they go in, but, like, I feel like he just needs to kind of play to his strengths more, you know?
I love that point you just said, because now I could just play objective man this whole podcast. I love that point you just said, right?
Yeah.
You see OB and he's standing at the 3-point line. And this is another gripe I have with Tibbs, right? You're playing OB like he's Kevin Knox. Like, you don't have OB just standing at the 3-point line, but that also is personnel, right? We got to look at who's on the court with OB Toppin. I love Alec Burks. I love what he's doing for us this season so far.
Yeah.
But my dude, you gotta pass Obi the ball. Like, it's like sometimes it's like he got beef with Obi Toppin. Like, I gotta see more ball movement. It's too much. It's too much. One pick and roll, jump shot. One pick and roll, jump shot. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's not enough side to side ball movement. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I mean, I feel like, I mean, about Burks, yes, I feel like he definitely should pass the ball, but I mean, I feel like his role is more of, you know, like getting just, you know, a lot of buckets off the bench, right?
I agree.
So, I mean, like, I understand, like, what you're saying about, like, he needs to pass more, but at the same time, you know, he also has to play, you know, to his role. So, I mean, his step back three against Brooklyn was just beautiful.
That was nice.
Great.
That was
but
nice.
I mean, I feel like with like Obi, like I feel like, you know, I feel like the only person who really tries to give him opportunities is Quickly and Derrick Rose. Because like
Quickly, he's a sometimer. We'll talk more.
Right.
About
Well, I'm saying those are the two players that I feel like try to find Obi the most.
And Kevin Knox.
Yep, Knox as well. And, you know, I feel like, I mean, Derek, the majority of it is Derek Rose. Like, you know, you saw, I mean, a great example is, I think, his first game against Miami when he came back to us in the trade for a DSJ. You know, he immediately had that, like, no-look pass to Obi for the slam. Because I feel like, you know, you see Obi Toppin in college at Dayton. And I mean, you just see this guy, you know, full court, just like doing it all, dunking everywhere. And like, then you see him trying to be like Steph Curry with this like crazy high arc 3-point shot that touches the ceiling of the arena and then goes back down. And like,
right.
You know, I feel like, listen, it works sometimes. Like, I mean, when I see Obi Toppin shoot a three, I'm not scared that he's going to, like, airball, even though he did do that against the Celtics, like, last night.
Oof.
Oh, my God. But, you know, it's like I would be more scared having Andrea Bargnani shoot a three than Obi Toppin. I mean, I'd be more scared of seeing Andrea Bargnani dunk and fall on his face again. Then
what is he doing?
Oh, folks? Yeah, I mean, I don't, and the fact that the ball hit his face after he face planted was just, I mean, how much like 2015 Knicks can it get, you know? But I just feel like Obi needs to just play to his strengths more. And I mean, I guess like more on the issue that I have with Tibbs is like, you know, I don't understand why we're starting Alfred still.
Wait, hold on. We could talk about Alfred. But he needs his own segment on this pod, because I'm done with him.
Oh, I watched the videos. I watched the rants. A very entertaining way to spend my night. I love the mid-game rants.
Because I feel like
you have this whole offense, and like, you know, they're trying to get shots, trying to move the ball, and then you have Elfrid Payton just driving in, getting quadruple teamed layups. Like, it's such a contrast to what we're trying to do.
Remember the play. Real quick, remember the play when Alfred got the ball at the three-point line, and instead of taking the open three-point shot, and this was against the Celtics, he drives into the lane and runs right into Marcus Smart for a steal?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. What are we doing? I don't know. Like, I mean, I just think with Alfred, like, you got to see it for how it is, though. He does give you consistent scoring when it needs to happen, right? I mean, we saw
consistent scoring
in a sense, because, you know, you see, I think I don't know, what was it, against like Brooklyn, when he got that nice layup that like we needed to score.
He scored a layup, and I think he hit a mid-range jumper.
It's like moments like those where I'm like, I see why Alfred's still kind of here. But I just feel like it's very a complete 180 from what I try to see this offense do. I mean, you know, you have Emmanuel quickly shooting lights out threes, you know, on some nights. Mm-hmm. Some nights it's god awful and the floaters just aren't there. But you know, I mean, like, I see like everybody's trying to start ball movement, and then Alfred Payton's just doing something entirely different. I don't understand. And I mean, it's like it makes me upset, because it's like I understand why we did nothing at the trade deadline, but I feel like this is why we needed Andre Drummond, because it's like, don't get me wrong, I love Nerlens Noel. I love what Taj brings to the team. I get the Taj slander. I go back and forth with my dad all the time about.
Wait, hold on. Yeah. One thing we don't do, we don't slander Taj Gibson.
No. I believe me. We're pro Taj over here at the Knicks love community Taj household. Because I mean, like, you know, I go back and forth with my dad all the time about Taj, and you know, he's been pro Taj since day one. And you know, and it's like, I really like what Taj does. I feel like he shows hints of Tyson Chandler sometimes, you know, he just shows straight up hustle. And it's like, there was this play against Boston, I believe, where, it was like, I think RJ saved it from going out, and like Taj like freaking like caught it like a wide receiver in the NFL and then passed it off to Randall or somebody to like get a fast break opportunity, something like that.
Yep. Fast break dunk.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, I really like what Taj brings to the team, but it's like, you know, I mean, God forbid Taj or Noel goes out. I love what I'm seeing from Norvell Pell. I mean, the hustle on that man, dislocates his finger, then gets like two blocks, a rebound, and then I think he like went to the free throw line or something. Loved what I'm seeing from him. I like the John Henson pickup. I mean, from what I know, I mean, I love playing 2K with John Henson. I mean, he gets you like straight up 20 boards. So I mean, I like that. In real life, I have no idea. I mean, I know of John Henson. I know like his play style, and I know about him, but I don't know really how he's gonna fit to this Knicks roster. I mean,
you want me to be honest with you? I don't think he. Listen, he's not seeing no playing time on this roster.
He's only going to see playing time if we have like a ton of centers go down, I think.
Yes. 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 I definitely agree with that. But you know what's crazy? I'm surprised you even haven't mentioned this. So another gripe Rad got with Tibbs. Mind you, he's an excellent coach, right? So B-Ball Index puts out, you know, a little tweet about like 2 hours ago. And I love B-Ball Index, by the way. Yeah, everybody, y'all should go follow them. Here are the lineups with the worst spacing among the top 60 lineups in minutes. Alfred Payton, Bullock, Barrett, Randall is 58th on this list. Last in this list is Brogdon, LeVert, Holiday, Sabonis, Turner. Okay, cool. We are also top 10, right? And I found this to be so ridiculous, but we're top 10 in three-point shooting percentage right now at 37%. But we are in the bottom three in attempts total per game. So we're top 10 in three-point percentage, but the bottom three in attempts. Tibbs, can you shoot more threes per game, bro? Like can you put more space around RJ Barrett and Julius Randle so they can be more functional on the court? I think that was my last gripe with Fig. Oh, I mean, with Fizdale. I almost about to say Fizdale, man. Shout out to David Fizdale. But that's my last thing about Tibbs is like, it, you know, space the floor more, bro. Have these guys shoot more
threes. Yeah, I mean, I see that as a positive, though, because doesn't that mean they're taking more high percentage threes?
I mean, that is a good way to look at it. But if you're shooting a great percentage, right, as a team, right, you got guys like Julius Randle shooting 40% from three. You know, Reggie Bullock, he's shooting about 40% from three. You know, Burks is shooting about 38%. Frank is shooting 46% from three, not shooting 41% from three. Barrett shooting 35% from three. You would think you would want these boys to shoot even more threes.
Right, but you don't want to risk that percentage from being at where it's at to then plummeting in case – They do take more opportunities, but then just have consistent bad nights.
Okay, I can understand that. I mean, it's not Tibbs' MO anyway, but I would like for him to modernize the offense a little more. Like, I understand you want to run triangle and run your offense through Julius Randle, but need more ball movement, man. Teams is keying in on us, and it's kind of hard to watch Randle sometimes, man. He's doing his all. He looks tired, right?
It makes sense. I mean, he's definitely been the leader of this team for throughout this whole entire season. So I mean, I feel like the majority of these players have to be fatigued because we really made no moves this trade deadline, right? So it's gonna be the same players, you know, just putting their hearts out there on the court every night. So I mean, like, because if we made more moves, you'd have fresh faces, you know. I mean, I understand, like, they didn't want to, you know, risk any, like, chemistry being ruined because they were on such a roll during that time. But, I mean, like, right now, I wish there was just a little bit more, you know, to this team in terms of, like, fatigue, like, not getting, like, insanely – high, because like now that it's the same group of guys, you know, we have our next couple games are against teams like Lakers, Toronto, Memphis.
Oh my god.
And you know, I mean Pelicans twice. So I mean, can you imagine if Lonzo like drops like 40 plus on us for not getting him at the deadline?
Oh my goodness. It's gonna be tough, bro. Matter of fact, I want to talk about that right now. Now that you brought it up, it's on my brain. I feel like we got to talk about that now because you brought up the trade deadline, right? And, you know, Thibodeau is doing a great job. He deserves Coach of the Year. Even though we have our gripes with him and we talk about his decisions sometimes and his ass rotations, regardless, he's the Coach of the Year. But, you know, moving forward, how are we going to get how are we going to make this team better? They didn't make no moves at the trade deadline. And you have a lot of people who was angry with the Knicks. You know, I'm in the Knicks thread. A lot of these dudes is pissed off with the Knicks that they didn't make a move at the trade deadline. But I want to throw this at you. And I'm so glad you brought that up. You see how, and this coincides with the whole, you know, do we need to get Randall help? Are we re-signing Randall? Like, what are we going to do with Randall? You know, it coincides with that. I see what the Chicago Bulls did, right? They identified Zach LaVine as their guy, and they went and got him some help. And they got Vujicic. But they still had their first-round pick for this year, right?
Right.
We got more wins than them, bro. We didn't make no moves at the trade deadline. So do Nick management love Julius Randle the way that a lot of Nick fans do? That is the biggest question mark I have right now. And another thing I want to throw at you, too. I just think that they didn't make a move at the trade deadline, bro, because they're going to make a move draft night. That's just for me personal. But what you think, bro? Why do you think
they didn't make a move, bro? That Knicks management and Knicks Nation love braids Julius Randle. I think it just comes down to them being concerned with breaking, you know, chemistry, right? I mean, because, mm-hmm. you know, I just hate that we gave up Rivers and Ignis. Because, I mean, you know, Austin Rivers at the beginning of the season, I have mentioned this on your show. We've talked about it. You know, he really sparked the conversation at how things were really going to be different this year. And, like, you know, he really started kind of with that whole, you know, motto and whole kind of, I guess, like, story.
We're going to
change
the culture and like, stuff like
that. You know, I feel like it's like Ignis, you know, I wish we gave him more of an opportunity. I've been saying that for like a million years, it seems like. And Philly just waived him today, too. I don't think we can get him back because, you know, we just got Henson with our last roster spot. But, you know, I think then in response to your question about draft night, I mean, I think, like, I don't know. It's tough because I don't think we're so bad as, like, we have such a bad record that, you know, we're projected to be high in the lotto. So it's like, do you want to risk it all for a guy like Cade Cunningham or like Jalen Suggs? Cause it's like, I mean, listen, I love both of those players. But it's like, how much do you want to risk and then be prepared if the reward you get from that risk doesn't, you know, pan out in your favor, right? Because we could trade so many assets for a top 10 or top 5 pick and get, you know, a guy who on paper seems like destined to be a star, and then, you know, he's a bust. So it's like, I mean, I don't know, because it's like, do teams like want to give up their top picks for like guys that like aren't terrible, but like, you know, I feel like, I think you've said this before, like, I feel like the guy really that only brings value right now for like getting high picks is probably Julius Randle. Cause like, you know, I just don't see guys giving up their lottery picks for Reggie Bullock and guys like that, you know? I mean, listen, I love Reggie Bullock. I love what he brings to the team, but it's like, you know, it's a tough subject to, you know, think about, especially right now, because it's like, I think we're still deciding, do we want to be a playoff team or, you know, do we not? Cause it's like, I think we're going to make the playoffs. I think though, if we don't make the playoffs, just the fact that, you know, we had this, you know, momentum is really, exciting for the future, for sure.
So let me throw this at you, right? So, okay, cool. We can make the playoffs. I would love to make the playoffs, bro. I think almost every Knick fan and Knick Nation want to make the playoffs. I would love to, bro. But then when I think about it, right, and, you know, I deep dive into the situation, you know, I'm looking at free agency for the next 2-3 years. You know, I'm looking at ways we could get a superstar, how we could trade for somebody. People that, and I just want to say this for the Knick fans who's listening. Stop putting Frank and Kevin Knox in your goddamn trades for an all-star. Nobody wants players who don't play.
What all-stars right are there. People?
So damn near every day, I see a Twitter post. Yeah, let's trade Kevin Knox and Frank Ntilikina and 4 first-round picks for a lottery pick, for a top-5 pick. Whoa. The only person on draft night that we could trade, that we could probably get some value for, is Julius Randle. And I know a lot of people don't like talking about that subject, bro. And I respect it, bro. Randle's an all-star. This is the first time you've had an all-star in since Carmelo Anthony. This is the first time we had an all-star. On top of the fact, Randle's playing way better than last year. So it's tough, bro. Like, I watched Zach LaVine get help in Chicago with Vujicic, and Leon Rose didn't do anything. He just sat on his ass, trade deadline, say, you know what? I like the way the chemistry is. So for us to get one more, this, I want to throw this question at you. Let's say how can I present this? All right, let me present this scenario to you. Let's say we don't make the playoffs, right? And we're like 11th in the Eastern Conference, right? Boom. So we go on a bad losing streak. Boom. And we're in the lottery. Let's say we get the 5th pick in the lottery. Would you, and this might sound crazy, but would you, whoever got the number 1 pick, would you offer them that 5th pick, Julius Randle, and a future pick for like Cade Cunningham or something like that? Just hypothetically speaking.
What's up, man? It's your boy State, other State of New York Knicks podcast. Y'all about to listen to part 2. That was part 1 of the pod. Let's get right back into it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Part two. Keep going.
So I'm seeing the Jalen Suggs slander go heavy on Twitter right now.
Okay. And
I just want to know, just from your perspective, what is Randle's value, right? Because no team, once again, if you didn't hear me say this the first time, no team is trading their lottery pick for Frank Ntilikina. We don't even have to include Frank Ntilikina because he's a restricted free agent this offseason. You can't trade him draft night, right? So you could probably only trade Kevin Knox, Quickly, Obi, Mitch, Randle. Those are the guys you got under contract draft night. Who the hell is going to trade their lottery pick for a guy like Kevin Knox and Obi, two dudes who don't play? So now it's like, you got Julius Randle. Do you pay Julius Randle 27 to 30 million? What is Leon Rose going to do? It's so confusing, bro. Like, I'm trying to get a feel of what Leon Rose likes to do, but it's just so difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all depends on how Randle finishes this season off, in my opinion. Because it's like, you know, I think right now we're in a little bit of a slump in, like, a very critical time if we do want to make the playoffs. Because it's like, if he goes back to, like, all-star form beginning of the season, Randle, then, like, I mean, yeah, I mean, I would say, like, I think it's just, I don't know, it just depends on how he finishes this season.
It's tough.
It is tough. Because it's like, I don't want to have, like, like an Allen Houston situation. I mean, shout out to Allen Houston. I mean, great guy, but like
H2O.
I don't want to like invest so much money where then he comes back and like gets an injury or just doesn't play to you know his standards or what we have seen from him so far. So I mean, yeah, no, it's definitely it's risky for sure. Yeah.
And you know, it's tough, bro. It's tough. Like, it's several things, like Randle's contract. You drafted Obi Toppin. You know, he's 23 years old. You don't want to keep him coming off the bench forever. Or maybe you do and transform him into Montrezl Harrell. But I think he's just – he got a higher ceiling than that, for just for me personally. And then it's like, okay, you know Randle's – now. Do you – all right, I'm going to ask you this. What – if on a championship team, what option is Julius Randle to you? Now, people always get at me for this, bro. I call him the number four option. No disrespect to Julius Randle, but I call him the number four option on a championship team. Hell, I might be crazy wrong with my assessment, but I'm going back and, you know, I'm watching the big threes, NBA history, you know. Look at the Golden State Warriors team. Your second option is Klay Thompson, bro. like go to the Miami Heat big three. Your third option is Chris Bosh. Like the Celtics big three. Your third option was toss up Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett. Who you putting the ball? Like it's crazy, bro. Like, no disrespect to Randle, but I feel like he's a third, fourth option, and we need more. We need more talent. How the hell are we going to get that talent, bro? We can't go in free agency unless you want to pay Oubre or Otto Porter $15-plus million each. So, I don't know, bro. I don't know. It's tough, man. That whole Randle subject is so tough for me to talk about, bro.
Yeah. No, but, for sure. I mean, if we're talking about championship roster, I mean, I think it just depends on who is on that roster, you know, to really, I mean, solidify.
Good answer.
Right? Because it's like, if you have, like, a lot of scorers, a lot of efficient scorers, then, you know, he's obviously going to be lower on the, you know, options. But, I mean, if you have, you know, a team that, yeah, does have scorers, but, you know, you need that, like, facilitator that, like, you know, can not only score, but, like, you know, easily just find guys, easily just start an offense, then I see Randle as being a higher option. But I think it just depends on who is on that championship roster to make that decision, you know?
Right. That's a great answer. I'm surprised nobody ever gave me that answer. So that's the first time I ever heard that. But that's superb. You know, let's talk about the crown jewel, bro. Let's talk about RJ Barrett, bro. Before we even get to RJ Barrett's stats and all that, you know, and praise him, this ESPN top 25 players under 25 years old, very disrespectful to me. I've seen a couple names on that list where it's like, okay, I understand why you got these guys here, but RJ Barrett has already been snubbed from the All Rookies team, right? No love whatsoever last year. He barely got into the All Rookie and Sophomore game. So, how do you feel about that RJ Barrett being left off the ESPN top 25 under 25 years old list?
Yeah, I mean, I see. Obviously, I think the biggest shock was LaMelo at three.
No shock. That is not a shock. I think I would take this. I'm in the minority. I'm taking LaMelo Ball. If you're talking about, like, ceiling and what he could do, I'm taking LaMelo Ball over Donovan Mitchell and Devin Booker. Easy.
Right, but that's ceiling. But this is, like, the 25 best players currently that are performing in the league. Okay. Right?
Yes, under 25, yes.
And under 25. Because, like, you know, LaMelo's out for the rest of the year. So, like, a guy like RJ Barrett, I'm not saying he's going to get to three. But he's he could easily get into late 20s, right?
Right.
I mean, like, you know, I just feel like I think they were kind of going with LaMelo for like, oh, he's playing great right now, which means he's going to be like number one on this list next year, you know, kind of sort of a mindset. But yeah, I think, you know, RJ definitely should have been. Listen, I'm not saying he's top 10 on that list, but you know, mm-hmm. he should have been, you know, like somewhere in the 20s for sure.
So I got the list right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Luka, okay, that's cool. Zion, okay, cool. LaMelo, okay, cool. Donovan Mitchell, cool. Tatum, cool. Fox, cool. Simmons, okay. Bam Adebayo, Devin Booker. Even though I think Devin Booker should be the highest, Devin Booker on this list should be third before Donovan Mitchell, but to each his own. Now, here's where it gets real fishy to me. First of all, I'm not taking Bam Adebayo over Brandon Ingram. I'm not doing it. I'm just not doing it. I'm taking Jaylen Brown over Bam Adebayo. Who else? You got Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. I'm taking Shea over Bam Adebayo, right? I'm not taking Michael Porter Jr. over Bam Adebayo. But, you know, let's go to the end of the list. You got Colin Sexton, Lonzo Ball, Jared Allen, John Collins, Tyrese Haliburton, DeAndre Ayton, Anthony Edwards, Sabonis, Mikal Bridges, Trae Young, Ja Morant, Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, like I like the fact that Haliburton is over RJ, and RJ has been at this now in the NBA for 2 years. And
yep.
And Haliburton's a rookie. Listen, I love Haliburton. I love his game. He's a fantastic player, and I think he's definitely going to have a high ceiling if he continues to play like this for multiple seasons. But,
right.
You know, that's where you got to stick RJ, right? Like, Anthony Edwards, I understand. First pick in the draft. He's been playing great as of late.
No disrespect to Ant-Man. I'm taking RJ over Ant-Man.
Yeah, no, I agree, but I mean the RJ slander after that Wolves game was terrible by Edwards.
I mean I like stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean it shows you that like he doesn't care. You know, he just kind of has that attitude of I'm gonna say how I feel, and you know, I really don't care what you have to say to that. Which, I mean, that attitude has worked great for people in sports. You look at Conor McGregor is my favorite.
Love Conor.
I love Conor. my favorite comparison to that. I mean, walking with the strut.
Yep.
You know, I mean, saying anything and everything. I mean, I mean, listen, I'm not saying Anthony Edwards is Conor McGregor, but, you know, I see that Anthony Edwards in his mindset, I think definitely works. Especially, I mean, it's been working because he's been playing great at this point in the season.
So, off the top of my head, while you're talking about Conor McGregor, right?
Mm-hmm.
All time, sports interviews, Conor McGregor, and Mike Tyson. Those two guys.
Oh yeah.
Oh, and Marshawn Lynch from the Seahawks.
Uh-huh.
Those three guys get a sports interview. They will make you laugh, bro.
Oh
instantly.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally
can I tell do. You the dudes? Can I tell you the dudes? I'm taking RJ Barrett over before we get into some RJ Barrett stats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that I'm taking RJ Barrett over these dudes. I'm taking RJ over Colin Sexton. No disrespect to Sexton, but RJ Barrett plays both sides of the ball. I'm taking RJ Barrett over Jared Allen. I'm taking RJ Barrett over John Collins. I'm taking RJ Barrett over Tyrese Haliburton. I'm taking him over Anthony Edwards. I'm taking him over Sabonis. I'm taking him over Mikal Bridges.
Mikal was Mikal Bridges over RJ on that list or
yes. Oh, Mikal Bridges oh god.
Oh man. Wow.
Disrespectful.
Wow.
Disrespectful. And so It's a couple dudes. RJ Barrett should be at least number 15 on this list. At least. You know, we're going to be respectful. And I know you got some stats with you, but I got some stats too to defend RJ Barrett, right? So, first of all, RJ Barrett is 20 years old. He's averaging 18, 6, and 3 on 45% shooting from the field, 38% from 3, and 74% from the line. In year two. This is only in year two, right? He's playing next to the worst point guard in basketball, the worst starting point guard. And RJ Barrett right now is currently ranked fourth among guards who play 30 minutes in defensive plus defensive rating. And he's number one in that category in defensive win shares. So that is impressive. And Aiden, I always told you this, bro. Matter of fact, the first time you was on the pod, I told you this. I don't give a damn about RJ Barrett's offense, bro. It's his defense that I love, man. It's his defense. But talk to me about RJ, man. What you been seeing from RJ Barrett in year two, bro?
Yeah, I mean, you're especially right now, you're seeing an intensity like that should have been with him at the beginning of year one. You know, I mean, yeah, he's I think right now he's definitely starting to sense a lot of disrespect towards him, you know, and I feel like it's all kind of bubbling up and like meshing together because it's like, you know, not only did he have to deal with getting snubbed from the all rookie list last year. I mean, even before he went into the league, you know, you had the great Stephen A quote when we draft, he's not Zion, but he's RJ. And it's like, you know, it's like being compared to Zion all through year one. You know, and right now, you know, with the Anthony Edwards comments, you know, I feel like it's really just like starting to light a fire under him. And you saw that against the Celtics. He was lights out. I think he didn't miss a single three that game.
He did not. And I'm going to throw this at you. RJ Barrett, he was 29 points, 10 for 14 from the field, 6 for 6 from 3. He is tied for the second most threes without missing a three in a game for the Knicks in Knicks franchise history. Voila, the kid is breaking stats. And one more stat for you, bro, before you go real quick. You know, after shooting 6 for 6 from the three-point line, RJ Barrett is now 61 for 133 on 45.9% from 3 over the last 40 games playing for the New York Knicks. Go ahead, bro.
Wow. I mean,
yeah, wow.
Yeah, that's all I can say about that, you know? I mean, I really think we're seeing a lot of hope, especially for year 3 and beyond. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, if he can keep up this level of play, his ceiling and his potential is through the roof. You know, I just it's exciting. I mean, like, yeah, we're on a terrible losing streak, but, you know, to see the potential, like I always say, of these players really show. I mean, you see Emmanuel Quickly and that his whole potential. Obi, when he's on a great night, you see his potential. And everything like that. And I just, this part of the schedule, a lot of Knicks fans were coming up to me after the, like right at the beginning of the All-Star break, how they were all very worried about this second half of the schedule. And I think right now it's going to be very interesting the next time we chat, because we're about to get into the hardest stretch of the season. So it's going to be interesting to see how we respond in these games.
So, how can I word this question? What do you think is best for this Knicks franchise? Cause I listened to Brian Windhorst today, and I usually don't watch ESPN for my Knicks coverage. Cause I got you guys, you know, I got the whole Knicks family, Uncle Freezy, God of Knicks, Die Hard Knicks, you know, all these dudes. I got Knicks community, all these dudes, Chris and my guy Chris with the Blue Network podcast. Like, I know all these dudes. But I listened to Brian Windhorst, and he said, yes, the Knicks would be great. It would be great for them to make the playoffs. But this roster don't have enough talent. And he's correct. We don't have enough talent. And he said it would be better for the Knicks to not make the playoffs, for them to try to get a top four pick, because this draft is just so stacked. So what you think is going to happen?
Because I already
gave my prediction. If Alfred Payton continues to start, we're going to the lottery, and I'm fine with that. I'm good. But what do you think is going to go down? And what do you think is better for the Knicks team and us moving forward?
Right. I mean, listen, I agree and disagree with Windhorst. I think, yeah, it would be great for us to get another top pick. But how many years do we have to go through that excitement and disappointment when we have an actual shot for these kids to really experience what a playoff is like, right? How many years is RJ Barrett going to go through till he experiences a playoff atmosphere, right? So, like, right. The fact that we're so close in this season right now to make a run for the playoffs, I say we take full advantage of that. Because it's like, how many years can Knicks fans go through, you know, the whole lottery night process? And I mean, right? Like, I just feel like it's like, how many more years can we go through that before we strike gold with like a star, you know, not a bust or somebody that we is constantly going up and down with his progression throughout seasons. So I mean, I feel like I understand that we don't have enough talent to make a run. I'm not saying we're winning a championship. I would just like for these kids to experience a first round. That is all.
Can I be objective about that too?
Sure.
Please? I love what you're saying. You know, you want to get the kids experience. Cool. But what I'm a guy. I'm a hands-on type of guy, right? I'm a guy who I can't learn sitting back and just watching all day. Sometimes I need to be hands-on too. Sometimes I need you to tell me how to do this. I'm going to see you do it, and then I'm going to try it myself instantly, yeah. Right? I don't believe people get better by playing on the bench. And I understand we would love to make the playoffs, but Mitch is hurt, so we're not even going to see Mitch. But for me to watch a playoff series, and the only three kids that's in that rotation is RJ, Quickly, and Obi, I'm kind of not interested in that, bro. Because it's like, okay, we got to the playoffs, but majority of the kids is not even playing the playoff minutes. And it's like, are we getting Bullock and Alfred and these vets? Are we getting them prepared to trade them for a superstar? We know damn well we can't trade these
right.
Dudes. So it's like, it's tough for me to actually sit here and say to you, yes, bro, yes, Aiden, I want to make the playoffs. You know, I want to be great again. You know, I want us to get a superstar free agency, even though there's no superstars in free agency for the next 2-3 years. I want to do this. But look at the roster, and it's like, I need a young blue chip franchise cornerstone next to RJ Barrett. That's all
I agree with that, but also, you know, in playoff situations, right? Like anything can happen. I'm gonna throw this at you because let's say there's a situation where guards go out, forwards go out, boom, you have Frank and Knox getting a playoff experience, right? That could light a fire under them for the next year, for the next years, right? To want to get more minutes. You know, to improve their stats, to improve their style of play. So I mean, I wouldn't want to watch Brooklyn or whoever in the first round stomp all over us when right as you're saying, especially with how these rotations have been going, you know, with majority of this team on the bench, but also we also should be thinking. Yeah, like, if whatever happens, then, you know, these kids can say, yeah, I've now experienced what it's like to be in the playoffs, and I'm yearning for that experience again, right? So, I mean, that's just my thinking, but I do understand both sides to the argument, definitely.
It's crazy, man. It's tough, bro. Like, we want to be championship. We want to have a championship caliber team, and there's different ways of building. But I don't want to build my team like how the Lakers built their team, like how the Nets built their team, right? Like, I don't want to sacrifice my future for a couple of stars, and now the stars run the show. And I don't want that. I want an organic, authentic rebuild, right? Randle, okay, cool. He comes in for the $19 million. Hell of a bargain. Shout out to Leon Rose. But I just, it's tough, bro. It's tough. I don't know what route Leon Rose is going to take.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, he could, because it's like, he can do so many things, right? I mean, when have we last had a season where, you know, this team has so many options of what to do with their offseason, right? Because it's like, you know, you have seasons where it's like we're only focused on getting high picks, right? But this season, you know, they could decide, hey, let's go for a playoff appearance and also trying to win gold on draft night.
So, boom. It's two ways. Like, you could get in the play-in, right? So you could be the ninth for the 10th seed, play the play-in, possibly lose. You could still get a lottery pick that way, right?
Right.
Or you could avoid the play-in altogether, fight for that 6th seed, and then hopefully you'll probably play the Nets or you'll probably play another team. We'll probably get stomped out, but hey, we're in the playoffs, right?
Right.
And don't get me wrong, that's going to be a great feeling when we get in the playoffs. So we're in a win-win situation now. The worst case scenario, and this is what I'm scared about. I don't want to be the 11th seed, bro. And then we get the 12th pick in the draft, bro. And it's like, now we're really stuck in no man's land because nobody wants to trade their lottery picks. And now you're drafting. It's tough,
right? Right, because it's like how many more seasons can we take of you know, repetition like that, right?
Yeah, but not even that. Let's call a spade a spade. Frank and Knox kind of really hasn't panned out yet the way we wanted them to for lottery picks.
Right, and how long are you going to wait for them to develop, right?
Exactly. And now I'm looking at this draft. I know for a fact, we draft a dude like Scotty Barnes, he's getting minutes from day one.
Uh-huh.
Day one. Jalen Green, day one. Kuminga, day one. Suggs, day one. What's the other guy? Mobley?
Mm-hmm.
I like Mobley, bro.
Yeah. And I love how, you know, yeah, you can see, you know, Jalen Green on the G League, but also it's because March Madness has happened. Now you're seeing so many more guys. You know, I mean, the players that I really want us to try to get, I love Max, whatever his name is, from Oral Roberts. You might think I'm crazy right now, but the similarities that I've seen from Oral Roberts and the Knicks are a lot. We have heart. They have heart. They beat teams like Ohio State, Florida, should have beaten Arkansas. But, like, you know, those two teams, the Knicks and Oral Roberts, will fight to the bitter end. And I want a guy like I think it's like Max Abamis or something. I mean, the guy got, like, 30 points. He's fast, quick, spots the open man great. You know, I would love a guard like that, right? That would just completely
shoot out
Alfred, right?
That, man, I'll shoot Alfred Payton into the moon, bro. I swear to God I will. I'm going to give you a name, though. I really like this kid named Josh Giddey.
I saw you tweet about really, him. Yes.
Really like this kid, Josh.
Did he play?
Bro.
Did he play overseas? Okay.
Yes. 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 Definitely played overseas. I forgot who I think it was Jonathan Wasserman. He came out of nowhere and he posted this kid. And I'm like, yo, who the hell is this kid? Like, why this kid? Who this 6'8 point guard looking kid? So I looked him up. I'm like, whoa, this dude, he's really good. So that was one of the sleeper picks that I would love for the Knicks. Hopefully I could get one of these draft guys on here soon. You know, my guy DP. I got another guy, Scott with Brian, so I'm going to try to see if I can get one of these dudes to come on here to explain some of these prospects to Knick Nation. But it's a lot of prospects, man. Keon Johnson, you know, Kispert, you know, Kai Jones, you know, Williamson. Jaden Springer. I believe you told me about Jaden Springer.
I might have. I think maybe, possibly.
You know, it's a lot of guys. Sharif Cooper right. is another guy. David Johnson is another guy. Guard from Louisville. It's a lot of players, but the Josh Giddey guy, that is a guy I think people need to start looking up and start understanding.
There's also the guard from Ohio University too. The ginger hair kid. He played really, 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 really good against Virginia when Ohio University eliminated Virginia this March Madness too. But yeah, I mean, it's gonna there's a lot. I love how stacked this draft is. You know, it's such a relief to see a stacked draft like this to like you know, last year's, right? Like Obi's draft. Because it's like, you knew those guys were good, but you didn't have March Madness or any other information, right? Like, I feel like barely any, like, it's like the Zion draft, everybody knew how good everybody was. Obi's draft, it's kind of up in the air. Like, I'm going to be honest, I didn't realize how, or know, you know, how good everybody was like the Zion draft, right? So it's like, the fact that we have March Madness and this stacked draft, I can't wait.
I can't either, man. If the Knicks do lose out on the playoffs, man, and we get a high lottery pick, cool. But if we make the playoffs and we keep both our first-round picks, I'm looking at NBADraft.net. I see Josh Christopher and Josh Giddey as the New York Knicks picks. I will take Josh Christopher in the heartbeat. Mm-hmm. Devon Mitchell, the kid from Baylor, I would take him too. I was impressed with what he do. Another guy, Greg Brown from Texas, I would take this guy too. Like Jalen Johnson from Duke. So it's a lot of talent. It's a lot of talent. A lot of talent. But the thing is, bro, this comes back to Julius Randle and Obi Toppin, right? I gotta know what Leon Rose's plans is. And I cannot wait until this offseason. This offseason is gonna define the Knicks for the next decade. So I would like for Leon Rose and the staff to build this thing from the ground up. If you wanna re-sign Randle, cool. Trade Obi Toppin. I don't need to see Obi Toppin on the bench when he's 25 years old, bro. I don't know. That's just me. But as far as that,
no, I agree. I don't want to see. I want to see Obi Toppin when he's 30, all star. You know, that's my dream. I want to see the kids succeed. I want to see all the kids succeed.
I think the kid that before we get out of here, I think the kid that I root most for is Frank Ntilikina. Frank Ntilikina. I love the kid, and I understand why a lot of Knicks fans hate the kid. And you have that right to hate the kid when you watch a guy like Donovan Mitchell and stuff. But at the end of the day, I don't need all my draft picks. I don't need every single player on my team to want to score. Somebody got to play some goddamn defense and move the ball. And That's what I see Frank as. I don't see him as this all-star player. I don't see him as some guy I could, if we lose him, you know, we ain't gonna make the championship. No, that's not how I view Frank. I would love for him to be here long term, but you know, a lot of I don't know, man. It just seemed like a lot of people got beef with Frank because he was picked the eighth overall, just like Obi Toppin, and he hasn't met expectations that they wanted. But the kid has five coaches, bro. Multiple managements, bro. What the fuck you want him to do?
Right.
I don't know, man. People just be. They always crap on my boy Frank Ntilikina. They crap on Kevin Knox too. So hopefully, I hope both of them could get a fair shot. But any last things on your mind, bro? Or we could just get out of here from this point because I think
I agree. It's gonna be interesting. I really hope Ja Morant doesn't destroy us. Tomorrow I think we play, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I really just. I mean, I think we can beat the Grizzlies. I feel like it's kind of John Morant and like against the world on in Memphis. So you know, I really think that we can get back on the win column versus Memphis tomorrow for sure.
So, as far as Memphis is concerned, let me throw a little bit of John Morant slander out of here. Only two players this season have logged 1,000-plus minutes and are shooting under 45% from the field and shooting under 25% from three. Want to name the two players? One is Ja Morant, and guess who's the other? Alfred goddamn Payton. So, so hopefully we can get this win, man. I for sure want this win. But any last words for the people, bro? And then, you know, I can let you get out of here, man. Go enjoy your night, bro. I know you need some rest. You know, it's difficult. Matter of fact, it's not even difficult. Thank you for hopping on the podcast when you can, bro, because I know you go to school and you're doing a lot of things on your own time. So I really appreciate it.
Anytime, man. I love talking Knicks with you. Anytime. You know, I mean, words for Knicks Nation, you know. I just think, you know, we got to be still patient and just excited for how this season's going to wrap up.
Hopefully, we wrap up with a playoff berth. I want either or, bro. And this is my thing to you, Nick Nation. I don't want no in-between funny business. Either make the goddamn playoffs as a top six seed, or you don't make the playoffs and you make sure you get me a top seven pick. I don't want the eighth pick no more. Frederick Weiss, Frank Ntilikina, Obi Toppin. I'm gonna jump off my balcony if I see us get that eighth pick again. So, no in between. One or the other. Make the goddamn playoffs as a top six seed, or get me a goddamn top five pick. That's what they need to do. Leon Rose, you came in for a splash. I need to see results now. You gotta splash something. So, Nick Nation, I appreciate y'all for tuning in. Aiden, you know, I appreciate you for coming on the pod once again, bro. I love your work, bro. I love that you always watching games and you always give me your input. So I appreciate you on that. Nick Nation, I'm out of here. I love y'all. Episode 101-39, State of New York Knicks Podcast with my guy Aiden, Knicks Community Podcast. Peace.